no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 8th day of January. Welcome, everyone. Every single one of you that are here, that are making the Bible a part of your day today. I am so happy, so proud of you for showing up and allowing the Word of God to speak for itself, for God to speak for Himself to you through His Word. And I pray and I hope that as we hear and as we will do as we hear, that we will be transformed from the inside out. As we begin here, we're thinking about those that are just joining for the first time, because this is the whole point. For a lot, I have a very high percentage of Christians that do not have a relationship with the Bible. The hope is that as we learn, as we grow, that others will come to know God through His Word personally. And so with that in mind, we think about those that are just getting here for the first time, and this is all very new to them. So let me just real quickly remind you that Brian and I sat down yesterday, and we gave you a little moving in guide, like a little, if this is your first time here, this is what we want you to know. And some of it will stick because you've already experienced it. And some of it, maybe you not quite understand the relevance of what we said. We wanted to wait just a minute, let you get your bearings, your equilibrium, because it can be so overwhelming at the very front end. Lots to take in, lots to hear about. So I remind us again that that is there for you. It is the first and only episode so far this year of whatever this is. It's a separate podcast, and it's available for you now. We are still in the book of Job, going to be here a minute or two more. Lots to say. The book of Job has a lot to say because we have a lot to say. Sometimes it's good that we have a lot to say, and other times we need to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And when to be silent. And maybe the silence can say things that words could never. We pick up today where we left off yesterday with Job responding to his friends. Today we're reading chapters 17 through 20 in Job. And this week we're reading the Christian Standard Bible. Job chapter 17. My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. A graveyard awaits me. Surely mockers surround me, and my eyes must gaze at their rebellion. Accept my pledge. Put up security for me. Who else will be my sponsor? You have closed their minds to understanding. Therefore, you will not honor them. If a man denounces his friends for a price, the eyes of his children will fail. He has made me an object of scorn to the people. I have become a man people spit at. My eyes have grown dim from grief. My whole body has become but a shadow. The upright are appalled at this, and the innocent are roused against the godless. Yet the righteous person will hold to his way, and the one whose hands are clean will grow stronger. But come back and try again. All of you, I will not find a wise man among you. My days have slipped by. My plans have been ruined. Even the things dear to my heart. They turned night into day and made light seem near in the face of darkness. If I await Sheol as my home, spread out my bed in darkness and say to corruption, you are my father, and to the maggot, my mother, or my sister, where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Will it go down to the gates of Sheol? or will we descend together to the dust? Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, How long until you stop talking? Show some sense, and then we can talk. Why are we regarded as cattle, as stupid in your sight? You who tear yourself in anger, should the earth be abandoned on your account, or a rock be removed from its place? Yes, the light of the wicked is extinguished. The flame of his fire does not glow. The light in his tent grows dark, and the lamp beside him is put out. His powerful stride is shortened, and his own schemes trip him up. For his own feet lead him into a net, and he strays into its mesh. A trap catches him by the heel. A noose seizes him. A rope lies hidden for him on the ground, and a snare waits for him along the path. Terrors frighten him on every side and harass him at every step. His strength is depleted. Disaster lies ready for him to stumble. Parts of his skin are eaten away. Death's firstborn consumes his limbs. He is ripped from the security of his tent and marched away to the king of terrors. Nothing he owned remains in his tent. Burning sulfur is scattered over his home. His roots below dry up, and his branches above wither away. All memory of him perishes from the earth. He has no name anywhere. He is driven from light to darkness and chased from the inhabited world. He has no children or descendants among his people, no survivor where he used to live. Those in the west are appalled at his fate, while those in the east tremble in horror. Indeed, such is the dwelling of the unjust man, and this is the place of the one who does not know God. And Job answered, How long will you torment me and crush me with your words? You have humiliated me 10 times now, and you mistreat me without shame. Even if it is true that I have sinned, my mistake concerns only me. If you really want to appear superior to me and would use my disgrace as evidence against me, then understand that it is God who has wronged me and caught me in his net. I cry out, violence, but get no response. I call for help, but there is no justice. He has blocked my way so that I cannot pass through. He has veiled my paths with darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed the crown from my head. He tears me down on every side so that I am ruined. He uproots my hope like a tree. His anger burns against me, and he regards me as one of his enemies. His troops advance together. They construct a ramp against me and camp around my tent. He has removed my brothers from me. My acquaintances have abandoned me. My relatives stop coming by, and my close friends have forgotten me. My house guests and female servants regard me as a stranger. I am a foreigner in their sight. I call for my servant, but he does not answer, even if I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and my own family finds me repulsive. Even young boys scorn me. When I stand up, they mock me. All of my best friends despise me, and those I love have turned against me. My skin and my flesh cling to my bones. I have escaped with only the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me, my friends. Have mercy, for God's hand has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? I wish that my words were written down, that they were recorded on a scroll, or were inscribed in stone forever by an iron stylus and lead. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand on the dust. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh. I will see him myself. My eyes will look at him and not as a stranger. My heart longs within me. If you say, how will we pursue him since the root of the problem lies with him? Then be afraid of the sword, because wrath brings punishment by the sword, so that you may know there is a judgment. Then Zophar, the Naamathite, replied, this is why my unsettling thoughts compel me to answer, because I am upset. I have heard a rebuke that insults me, and my understanding makes me reply. Don't you know that ever since antiquity, from the time a human was placed on earth, the joy of the wicked has been brief, and the happiness of the godless has lasted only a moment? Though his arrogance reaches heaven and his head touches the clouds, he will vanish forever like his own dung. Those who know him will ask, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and never be found. He will be chased away like a vision in the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, and his household will no longer see him. His children will beg from the poor, for his own hands must give back his wealth. His frame may be full of youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in dust. Though evil tastes sweet in his mouth, and he conceals it under his tongue, though he cherishes it and will not let it go, but keeps it in his mouth, yet the food in his stomach turns into cobra's venom inside him. He swallows wealth but must vomit it up. God will force it from his stomach. He will suck the poison of cobras. A viper's fangs will kill him. He will not enjoy the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and curds. He must return the fruit of his labor without consuming it. He doesn't enjoy the profits from his trading, for he oppressed and abandoned the poor. He seized a house he did not build. Because his appetite is never satisfied, he does not let anything he desires escape. Nothing is left for him to consume. Therefore, his prosperity will not last. At the height of his success, distress will come to him. The full weight of misery will crush him. When he fills his stomach, God will send his burning anger against him, raining it down on him while he is eating. If he flees from an iron weapon, an arrow from a bronze bow will pierce him. He pulls it out of his back, the flashing tip out of his liver. Terrors come over him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasures. A fire unfanned by human hands will consume him. It will feed on what is left in his tent. The heavens will expose his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. The possessions in his house will be removed, flowing away on the day of God's anger. This is the wicked person's lot from God, the inheritance God ordained for him. Let's talk about it. Job seems to be at one of his lowest points in this entire story and the entire book. So let's talk a little bit about what happens in PTSD and trauma so that we can understand what's happening, because the context of what is happening here gives us insight to what happens in our own lives. So anything that is traumatic, and let's define trauma. There's lots of different ways to define trauma. I could give the clinical definition for us to understand, but it's like, which clinical, which clinician, which resource are you going to use to define it? Trauma, in my own words, is anything that affects us greatly, usually in a negative way, things that our mind cannot fathom, things that our mind plays over continuously on a loop. It can be a traumatic car accident. It can be a traumatic death. It could be years of watching someone suffer. If you were a young child and lost a parent or a sibling, especially tragically, this is trauma in your life. A betrayal, a lie that affects you greatly. These are all examples of trauma. And we tend to measure our trauma against the worst case scenario that we can think of. And then we can minimize our trauma because it was not their trauma. But trauma is trauma. Pain is pain. No matter how great someone else's is or was, yours can be yours. We don't have to diminish it. Pain is pain. Suffering is suffering. Hard is hard. Undealt with trauma can affect us through dreams. It stays in our body. It creates anxiety. It creates depression. It creates heart palpitations. And this is because it affects our central nervous system. When we dysregulate our nervous system, our thoughts go into overdrive. Anger amps up immediately. This is fight or flight. We become aggressive. We want to fight somebody. Freeze or fawn is when we feel cemented, paralyzed. We can't move. Fight, flight, fawn. These things are because our nervous system has been disrupted by trauma. And because trauma stays with us and in us, if we do not get it out of our body, even though it happened years ago, even though it may have happened when you were a child, those triggers, those same things that keep happening, that mimic that trauma, trigger us in a way that it feels like it's happening all over again. Now, I say this with all love and respect. If you are someone that believes the Bible is enough and you don't need anyone else outside of God's word, God bless you. Sincerely, God bless you. But there's a reason. There's a reason why God gives us human beings that have studied the brain, have studied psychology, have studied the Bible and the body, and know what happens in these situations and how to remedy them. The point being is we do not have to stay stuck in trauma when we understand trauma and how to repair our nervous system. So first of all, it's up to us to make the moves and make the step forward to better understand what's happening and then to do some repair work. This is our word for the year, repair. And there is repair work that can be done. I say all of this because we are literally watching Job's trauma play out. And his friends that are there are thinking that they're helping. And what they're doing, actually, as we see in scripture today, is re-traumatizing Job. I am not an expert. I am not a mental health professional. I am just someone that has walked this path of mental health, help, repair, healing closely and extensively for the last 2.5 years. My whole life has been dedicated to repairing my nervous system from a very long time ago and repairing the relationships with the people that I have hurt greatly and most dear to me in my life, which is my husband and my children. And that's all I've had capacity for. So with all of this said and understanding trauma, the repair work for trauma is repairing the nervous system. How we repair the nervous system is with healing. If you are the offender, I don't like the words that we sometimes have in the healing process. I understand ownership of the words, the admission and the ownership, but I sometimes see that we play into those roles as our identity instead of like, no, this is temporary. So let's say the offender, if you are the offender and the offended, because sometimes it's betrayer and betrayed. Let's call it the wounded and the wounder, because we're all both. We've been both. We will be both, the wounded and the wounder. So for now, let's call Job the wounded, and let's refer to his friends as the wounder. At the beginning of the book, they sat silent. They sat Shiva with Job. And we even saw Job's trauma and getting up and walking around and trying to move these things out of his body while he makes sense of what he cannot make sense of. And they sat with him, silent, didn't offer opinions, didn't offer solutions, didn't offer platitudes and sweet little scriptures. And it was all fine and good until they started speaking. And not only are they speaking, but they're saying some of the most damaging things as believers in God that could be said. Things such as, there's got to be sin in your life. We just got to figure out what that sin is. You can confess it, and then you will be all better. Things like, God is God. Why are you going to question God? Why do you want to speak to God about this? You just got to lay down and take it. Like a good Christian, you just got to lay down and take it. Things like, God will not give you more than you can handle. Things like, you must be God's special chosen warrior that you can handle such a load. None of these things are helpful. So in the repair work, in this case, where the friends are meaning well, but if they were to hear Job, if they were to hear him say, you're not helping, instead of inflicting more pain into Job, which is exactly what they're doing, they're re-traumatizing him. The ownership would be, I hurt you. I thought I was helping you. I hurt you. I inflicted more pain. I said things out of my own head. I said things to try to comfort you, to try to get you through grief, because I was uncomfortable and I am sorry. Let's be honest, we don't do this for lots of reasons. We don't do this because we don't know how to do this. We don't do this because it's not modeled very often. We don't do this because our pride tells us we didn't do anything wrong. We don't do this because we believe we've got all of the answers, and I'm sure lots of other reasons that I'm not thinking of, but I would say mostly it's because we don't see this modeled, because we don't know. So to hear Job wanting death and the grave, and to then respond by shaming an honest admission, does more damage than good. And sometimes all we have to say is, I hear you want to die. I can't imagine what that must feel like. Or what if we said nothing and we just listen? His friend Bildad that speaks today, listen to these words and hear how damaging they are to someone in distress, trauma, and pain. Show some sense and then we can talk. As if his words are going to snap Job out of his grief and his pain and his suffering. And even at the end of that dialogue, to suggest that Job is one who does not even know God. It is true that by the time we get to this point in the story of Job, it starts getting a bit redundant. But we have to stay present. We have to understand what's happening with the trauma and the re-traumatization that's happening. And we have to understand that we are going to hear all earthly wisdom exhausted by Job's friends and thinking that they are helping. And Job is maintaining his posture. He wants to hear from God. And so we pause here today and give thanks to God. Jesus, we thank you that you are the healer of the broken-hearted and the captor of those imprisoned. You were the wounded, no one knows wounding more than you. You were the betrayed, no one knows betrayal more than you, but you are our healer. You are the one who comes to heal us from the inside out, but that inside can only be healed when we purge what is within, when we come face to face with our pain, when we admit our need. So many times, God, those that have offended and those that have hurt and those that have betrayed re-injure us in their pride. They shift the blame back onto us. They sidestep, they dismiss with their excuses and justifications. Help us, God, be people to step into our part of how we wound, how we hurt, how we offend, how we betray. And help us, give us the courage by your Holy Spirit to repair that which we are capable of repairing, that which we are responsible because of how we have hurt. Lead us into all truth, Holy Spirit. And I pray this now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Download it, send it to a friend, check it out, take a look around. There's a resource center, there's a store, I think it's called The Shop. I haven't been on there in a while. I need to look. There is a prayer wall. If you are not so comfortable calling in just yet, there's a prayer wall. You can go there. You can type out your prayer request. You can type out your prayer. People all around the world. This is a global community. It's not limited to a certain region of the country. It's all of heaven and earth. There's some angels on that forum and you don't even know it. check that out on the prayer wall. And we ask and thank you for your cooperation in keeping this space safe by sticking to prayer and praying specifically only. We are so grateful that we can be partners together in keeping the fire going, glowing and going every single day. And we thank you each for every partnership. If this is life-giving to you, and you can throw a little something on the fire, there are several different ways for you to do so. Through mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or you can hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner on the mobile app. And lastly, look for give on the website. Let's talk about that prayer line. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called and God has moved on your heart, you want to pray. Several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or again, utilizing that app, hit the red circle button up the top midsection. When you're finished, hit submit. Turn that wheel one more time to chronological to ensure it gets to the right place. That's it for me today. We will continue in the book of Job together tomorrow. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Dear God, I come before your presence, worshiping you, Lord, acknowledging that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are our strong tower. You are like a strong tower. And they just run to you and they are safe there. Father, I thank you for your word. You're so faithful to us. We don't deserve it, but you are so good and so faithful upon this world, dear God. I pray for Christine, Jesus' girl. She called in regarding her sister's passing. I pray, Father, that you give him comfort, your Lord, because you are the God of comfort. Comfort her girls, your Lord. Visit them, dear Father. Show yourself strong in their lives. Comfort their hearts, your Jesus. I pray that they will just run to you, your God. I pray that you visit them, Father, and that they feel your touch, dear God, as your people pray for them, dear Father. You hear our prayers. Thank you for listening. Thank you for inclining your ears upon us. Our prayers, Father, they are forever. Prayers are forever in your presence, Father. I pray that you fill their hearts with your love, Father, and may they acknowledge that you exist and that you are real and that you are a good God who comforts us, who loves us unconditionally, dear Father. I thank you, Lord, for my sister. Bless her and give her the peace that surpasses all understanding. Also, dear God, when she lost her sister, in Jesus' name, amen. Minita.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. See, my name is Joyful in Virginia, and this is, I'm attempting to be a double dabber this year. So I just wanted to introduce you and ask for prayer. I'm going through a hard time with my sister. Is having some mental stuff, and it's seeming like it might be long term. And she's been through a whole lot, and I'm just praying that God would just heal her mind and bring it to completion and normalcy, and that she wouldn't have this long-term disease that we think, and that he would bring total healing to her mind. I look forward to getting to know the voices here, and just the first voice here on the 2nd of January, I think this is the 2nd, yeah, that the voice that came on was just so calming and ensuring to me that God's got this, and I just need to remember, it just seems so big, and I don't know what to do, and I need God's guidance. Anyways, if you could just lift us all up during this hard time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hello, Dab C. This is Aaron from Houston. It's been a while. Took last year off, did a different devotional, and oh, well, 2025 was a very, very hard year. It was filled with a lot of realizations, a lot of things that I think I had been running away from. The biggest thing is that I've stepped down from some ministries. I've kind of had to come to terms with the fact that I'd been doing a lot of things to try to earn God's favor, trying to put on something that was not really, I don't feel necessarily, of God. Not that I would say that anybody serving is doing this, but for me, it's just, I don't feel like it was the right place for me. Now, I do believe God is trying to teach me something, but the main thing that I am trying to learn now is to be a lot more like Mary and a lot less like Martha. It came to a head, and I'm grateful for a church that has completely understood it. But a big thing, big part of it was an over-responsibility, a constant fear of what might happen to others, how other people are doing, what could go wrong, and what might happen to me if I don't step in and do something. And essentially, it's just feeling constant guilt and being driven by guilt and not by love. Something that nobody else actually did to me. It's just my own mentality. So I'll be praying that God really teach me what rest really means.
Hi guys, this is Jamie from Texas calling in with a praise report. My husband got a job. I had called in earlier stating that I needed prayers because he just finished a new career path and he already got hired and he got a new job and he starts at the end of this month. So I'm so happy we're starting off the new year in this way. And there was a man that called in the end of December. He had also lost a job but didn't catch his name. I have been praying for him this whole time, you know, every day. I just kept forgetting to call in, but I don't know your name, but I really hope that things have turned around for you, and I've been asking God to help you just not feel stressed, and hopefully that your family's been supporting you, and I hope that you also got a job. I've also been praying for those who have called in with illness and loss, and I just really hope that things turn around for everybody and everybody has a super amazing new year. And then hope China's doing well, great as well. And thank you so much, Jill, for continuing this. And I'm looking forward to another awesome year with you guys. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you, Jill and Brian, for doing the Daily Audio podcast. I've been listening 3 years, and it's been a life-saving message that you deliver every day. So wonderful. Thank you so much. God bless you.